The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
2nd of May, the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland's Tea Day will celebrate its 30th anniversary, an opportunity for you to put the kettle on and make a difference. Now, to tell us about the important work that they do and the effect of a dementia diagnosis, we have with us Brian Murray, actor who is living with Alzheimer's, Una Crawford O'Brien, Brian's wife, both on and off screen, and Samantha Taylor, head of dementia advisory services for the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland. Good morning and welcome. And if our sound sounds slightly different, it's because we are coming to you from the St. Helens Radisson Blue in Stillorgan. Good morning, everybody, and welcome.
Hi.
So, Brian, how are things? With dementia, you live in a sort of present all the time.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's a bit like being an actor. Do you know what I mean? All the time. That you have this thing in your head that sometimes is there and sometimes it isn't. And all you have to do is you have to kind of turn it over or do so. So there's no point in giving out about it. Do you know what I mean? And it's just go forward with lots of endeavour.
Yeah. Now, how do you manage with learning lines and delivering lines on Fair City?
Well, I've been so long in the business now. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like you just get the page, read it down a few times, you get to know what it is. It, more than actually the words that the writer would put down is less important than what it's actually doing in the drama that's going on.
You better not let the writers hear you say that. They'd be disgusted.
I've said it 100 times and I'll say it again.
But at the moment you're being fed the lines through an earpiece.
Yeah, that they got the earpiece, yeah, which I thought was fantastic. Yeah.
Now, it's not as if you're live on stage, although you did do a drama on stage.
Yes.
To do with Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And you had to cope with that, which must have been kind of scary every night.
Well, it's always scary every night when you're going on stage. Do you know what I mean? But if you're dealing with something like Alzheimer's, you have to be, you know, you have to be a little bit higher. You know,
every night was the first night.
Yeah. Every night it's as if you've never done the play
never
before.
Never done the play before. And you've been so scared that it's just, let's do it.
He'd ask me when we were going in, what are we going in for? And that's the truth of it.
So the memory loss, the immediate memory loss, is quite complete. Do you know that you could be...
Oh, absolutely.
You could play a podcast and then listen to it again as if you'd never heard it.
That's exactly what happens. Okay. I mean, every night going in, he would say, what are we going in for? We're going in to the Abbey, the Peacock. Why are we going in? So every
we're going into work.
Exactly. Oh, what are we doing?
So you're in a situation with the Alzheimer's where you know you have it, mm-hmm. and you know the effect it has, and yet you don't have control over it. You can't deliberately try to remember things that simply are not there.
Mm. Yeah, but I think that, you know, with a kind of... with something inside it yourself that you want to kind of make it work all right.
Yeah,
I think that's the important thing.
Do you remember when you got a diagnosis? Now, I'm asking you to remember things that maybe you can't remember.
Yeah,
but the reaction that you had when you thought, maybe my memory won't be as good as I'm used to it being.
Yeah, oh, I remember that particular bad period. Yeah, and it's a while ago. But and that's the scary bit, you know what I mean? But from my point of view, it didn't go away, but it didn't get any worse. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. And so Una, I should ask you as his wife. I mean, Brian is quite accepting of the condition and working through it. You, as his nearest and dearest, I mean, it must have been a shock to you.
Yes, it was. I mean, my mother had dementia, and she had Alzheimer's, so I knew what was ahead. And so when I heard the diagnosis, it was a shock. And Brian's love, biggest love, is acting. And the fact that that could be affected or would be affected was terrible, knowing that. And so we didn't say anything for a couple of years. And then when we finally did come out and say it, it was the best thing we ever did, because people are very accepting of it now. And if, as is RTE and the Abbey Theatre, thinking outside the box, it's not a diagnosis that you have to say, right, that's the end. You can go further. You can, if you think of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
It's workable.
The great thing about being an actor, I'm sorry for you, and that is that actors play different parts, you know, and yeah. they're well used to kind of playing somebody who's really upset because it's so bad having Alzheimer's, or else they're with somebody who says, who cares about Alzheimer's? I'm going to do, you know. So that's what this is about, I think.
When Deirdre Kinahan said that she would write a play for him, it was during a play by Deirdre Kinahan, Halcyon Days, that I realised there was something seriously wrong with Brian's memory. And so Brian had to pull out of it, and she said she would write a play for him. And I thought, she hasn't heard what I said. He cannot learn a line.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I'll do it. Somebody who loves the theatre and his acting as much as he does, it can't be the end. And her idea was that he would read it. And then the director, Louise Lowe, she decided that she would give him an earpiece. And so he was very dependent on the person who was feeding him the lines, because he had no script in front of him. So his independence was taken away. He had no... There were no stage directions that he could follow anymore. So the actor he was acting with, Matthew Malone, he had to guide him around the stage. So it took away Brian's independence. It gave him a vulnerability that he hadn't had before. But it also, as somebody said, if you cut him in half, actor would be written the whole way through.
Yeah, because like a stick of rock.
Exactly. That's exactly it, because he just...
Sticky rock.
He just... he's an actor through and through, and that came through every night, even though he didn't know what he was doing.
And that vulnerability, which might have been required for an actor who was not suffering from dementia to create that, it was real in your case, Brian, every night going on stage.
Yeah.
When you're working on Fair City, of course, it's episodic. People don't kind of do the whole episode in one take. It's not like that.
No.
It's done in fits and starts. That's what makes making programs, I suppose, a bit tedious sometimes. But it makes
it
also it makes it more possible, though,
yes,
for the relationship to work on screen.
Yes. Fair City have been absolutely fantastic. They have somebody there to feed him the lines. Mm-hmm. And the way we do it is we will do all the outdoor scenes, we will do all the indoor scenes. And so it's disjointed. And what people don't realise is that Brian will forget what scene he did before.
Yeah.
So coming to a scene, it's all new again. And you have to explain to him what he did or what happened, you know, to do this scene, what emotion he has felt in the last scene.
And but being the consummate actor, he takes that on board
absolutely.
And takes it up from there.
Yes.
So in terms of continuity, if he was upset in scene one and scene two is following at some remove, you got to tell him,
absolutely,
by the way, we're picking this up where you're upset,
yes,
or angry or whatever it
exactly
might be. You're a genius, Brian.
well, you know, see, it's hard. I know this sounds like an awful thing to say, but it's very difficult for people who don't know what actors go through. Do you know what I mean? In life, you know, because life is about kind of, well, this might be real, but maybe there'll be somewhere around that it won't be real.
Yeah.
And the whole notion of your love of performance, that's what's keeping you alive.
I mean, this is in your bones, as Una has said.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that is still instinctive, I suppose.
Yes.
In the way you perform. Now, what about outside of the professional arena, the domestic arena? Because, I mean, it's well known that my mother, who knew your mother well, they were
indeed
great
they
pals,
did.
that she also had Alzheimer's. And, you know, you could have a conversation with her and then it would be repeated. And if you went out of the room and came back in, it would be as if you were arriving perhaps for the first time. So are there things in your domestic life that get endlessly repeated?
Yes, that's the short answer, yes. And I know for Brian asking the question, it's the first time that he's asking this question. I'm wondering, why am I getting annoyed? But for me, it could be the 20th time. And it's hard sometimes. It is difficult,
yeah,
you know, but Brian lives in the present, and I'm learning to live in the present, yeah, one day at a time.
And it is that immediate presence. What about things like, you know, walking the dog?
Oh, I bought him a dog for his 70th birthday, and the two of them go out every day. Sometimes
every
the dog
day.
Has walked a few times because Brian forgets he's walked him already. So
the poor creature.
I know, yeah. I know.
Bob and I are like that.
Okay.
Bob is called dog. After his character in Fair City. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so sometimes he gets more than walked.
Yes, he does, yeah. Exactly.
He drags me sometimes, you know. Now, come on, Brian, let's go.
It has to be said that what you did, the pair of you, was very courageous and brave to be out there as very recognisable public figures and to say, look, we are a family within which there is Alzheimer's. We are coping, we are working, we're living.
And it's not the end of the world.
That's exactly yeah. it. It's not. And there are ways, as I've already said, of getting around, you know, the situation.
Well, listening to us chatting here is Samantha Taylor, Head of Dementia Advisory Services for the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland. Samantha, I mean, Brian and Una are just exemplars of how it can be.
Absolutely. I think their bravery in telling their story really helps people to tell their stories, not necessarily publicly, but even with friends and families. Because one of the things that can happen is when this diagnosis comes, people can tend to withdraw and isolate, and then loneliness can emerge.
And then it gets worse and worse and worse.
It does, Brian. And that really doesn't help the person, and it doesn't help their family members. So hearing people talk about it and knowing that it's okay to talk about it and reach out is really, really important.
Okay, but the Alzheimer's Society has you at the helm of its advisory services. So what can you offer to families?
So we offer a national helpline 6 days a week. We offer dementia advisors, which are available in every county in Ireland, who will come to your home and they'll meet with you as a person with dementia and meet with your family and give you advice and support about what to do. And there's very practical things that can be done to help day-to-day life, but they'll also signpost you to services and supports as and when you need them. So the services we provide include our day centres, our home-based services. We do daycare at home now. We have social clubs. We have Alzheimer cafes. We have support groups. We have family carer training and education programmes. There's a wide range of things. So we'd really encourage people to contact us so that we can let you know what's available in your community.
Now, in terms of the practical things at home, for example, what
yeah.
kind of perhaps dangers are you looking for? Because people without a short-term memory are likely maybe to leave the cooker on.
Yeah, so I suppose there's some very simple things that can be put in place at home, and there's some assistive technology that can help, but often it's as simple as labelling things, post-its, things to help you navigate, you know, this is where the tea is, this is where we keep our sugar, this is where, you know, this is the fridge. In kitchens that are all lovely and integrated and you can't see anything anymore. Sometimes people just need some guidance as to where to go, to what to do. And then there's technology can really help people. I know a woman with dementia, and before she leaves the house, she gets a prompt from her Alexa, remember to lock the door. You know, there's very simple things that we can put in place to help live well and keep things
so those,
ticking.
Whether it's Google Home or Alexa or whatever it is,
yeah.
they are very useful.
Really useful.
Because you can set alarms on them to do certain things.
Exactly, and prompts at night time. You know, you have a routine and you go to bed, a prompt can be set to go, you know, remember to lock the back door before you go to bed and things yeah. like that. So technology can be our friend when it's set up and it's used correctly. I think there's memory resource technology libraries now that the HSE are providing, and you can go in and touch and feel some of this technology. But I mean, a great way to start, because there's lots to do, a great way to start is to call our helpline on 1-800-341-341, and we'll put you in contact with the dementia advisor in your local community, and they'll signpost you the rest of the way.
Now, finally, we should talk about what Luke O'Neill was talking about earlier, the research that's going into drug therapies, both
yeah.
Possibly someday to cure this condition, but certainly at the moment to delay the progression of the condition. Where are we?
So I think we're at a point of real hope. There's new immunotherapies that are in development and about to go through European approval process. We hope that they will be available within Ireland in the next couple of years. They're not the answer fully, but they're a real, I think they're first generation, and what we're excited about is the second and third generation that'll come beyond them. And the ones that are coming through at the moment, we know have limitations. They'll work for some people with Alzheimer's disease at early stage. They won't work for everybody, but they're a breakthrough, which is really hopeful. We haven't had a breakthrough in over 20 years, and we think it'll generate more, and we think it'll lead us to where we need to be in terms of either disease modifying, in terms of delaying progression, or ultimately, of course, we want to cure. But we know it's going to take more time, Pat. So what we would say is, while that is happening and while we have that hope, we really do need to keep focused on more psychosocial supports for people with dementia and their families in their homes and around the country. And that's really important.
All right. Well, Samantha, thank you very much for that. Samantha Taylor, Head of Dementia Advisory Services for the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland. And finally, Brian and Una, the rate of progression is what you watch for, but things seem to be okay.
On first looking at it, yes, but it is progressing. It's definitely. And Brian is an actor through and through, so will perform always. And shocking. Shocking is right.
That was a stage call.
It was, of course. So no, it is progressing. But if you have a conversation with Brian, he will perform. And but the reality is, it's happening.
Well, performance is in his blood, and long may that continue. Brian, thank you very much for joining us on the program this morning. And Una Crawford O'Brien, thank you. Also.
Thanks.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.